And join me in turning to Matthew's Gospel, the 6th chapter, as we are continuing to look at what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer. Some call it the model prayer, the Lord's model prayer. Tonight we're going to look at just one verse, verse 11 together. The father took his small son with him to town one day to run some errands. When lunchtime arrived, the two of them went to a familiar diner for a sandwich. The father sat down on one of the stools at the counter and lifted the boy up to the seat beside him. They ordered lunch, and when the waiter brought the food, the father said, "Son, we'll just have a silent prayer." Dad got through praying first and waited for the boy to finish his prayer. But he just sat with his head bowed for an unusually long time. When he finally looked up, his father asked him, "What in the world were you praying about all that time?" With the innocence and honesty of a child, he replied, "How do I know? It was a silent prayer." Well, at least he got the spirit of not praying like the hypocrites to be seen by men, which, of course, our Lord warns us about in Matthew 6, 5 and 6. That doesn't relate directly to our text, but it does bring us to the subject of prayer. Prayer is something that we talk about a lot, we preach about, we study about, we read about, but most of all, it's something that we need to practice. Most people, when they think of prayer, not just Christians, but people in general, they think of what we're going to look at tonight. And that is asking for their needs. And that's what Jesus said. That's okay. Jesus said, verse 11, he taught us to pray like this: "Give us this day our daily bread." And we want to look at that tonight. I want us to see three things about this petition. Petitioning the Lord for our daily bread. But before we do that, let's bow together and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you are a God who bids us to come to you. To come to you for our needs. Lord, we pray that you would teach us by your Spirit through your word tonight. We pray, Lord, that you would help us not just to understand prayer, but to pray, to be people of prayer. Father, we pray that our praying would be done in accordance with your will, in a way that is pleasing to you, and in a way, Lord, that will be effective in not only our lives, but, Father, effective in fulfilling your will for our lives. So we commit this time to you now, in Jesus' name, and for his sake, we pray. Amen. The first thing that I want to point out about this petition is the direction of this petition. Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this: "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, first of all, that's not the first thing Jesus taught us to say, right? We've looked before at these previous petitions. The first petition is, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So we start not with our needs, but with God's glory, with the desire for God's name to be treated as holy, and for his kingdom to come, for the Lord to come back, and in the meantime, for more and more people to come to know Christ so that the King reigns in their hearts. And thus that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. But now we turn to asking for ourselves, which is perfectly appropriate, Jesus says, to do. And the first thing he says is, "Give us this day our daily bread." And it's self-evident, but I want us to think about it. The direction of this prayer: to whom do we ask? It's God. It doesn't say God, but there's an understood word here that's missing, right? It's you. How many of you remember from grammar class what I learned as an understood you? It's not in the text, it's not there, but it's just understood. Whenever you have a command or a request, a lot of times you don't use the word you. Like whenever I'm lovingly and graciously giving directions to my children about something I want them to do, I don't always say, you take out the trash. I just say, take out the trash. Or whatever it may be. So we understand here that when Jesus says, teaches us, give us this day our daily bread, the direction is to the Lord Himself. While we understand that, it's something that is important for us to be very conscious of. Because we need to recognize God as the one who has all and the one who delights to give to His children. Jesus, a little bit later in the Sermon on the Mount, we find in Matthew 7, says, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. For whoever asks receives, whoever seeks finds, whoever knocks to him it will be open. And then he talks about how if we, being evil in comparison to God, know how to give good things to our children, how much more will our Father in heaven give good things to us, to His children. So we are directed to come to our Father, to go to God as the one who has everything and the one who has committed Himself to providing our needs. I think it's important for us to think about how God does provide our needs. Some of the means that the Lord uses to provide our needs. First of all, the primary way that God provides our daily bread is through our work. God has ordained that we should work. Work is a good thing. Yes, it is a four-letter word, literally, but not in a profane sense. God, work is not the result of the fall. All right? God gave Adam a task before Adam disobeyed Him. It's the hardness of work, the drudgery of work, that is the result of the fall. But God has ordained that we should work to provide for our needs. In fact, we are told in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, you're familiar with it, no doubt. Better get to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, for even when we were with you, we would give you this command, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. Now, it doesn't say if someone's unable to work, but if someone is not willing to work, he should not eat. God has created a world in which there is a need for work, and it is a means by which He provides for us. That is the primary way in most situations that God provides for us. But that's not the only way. Because there are situations and circumstances where sometimes God meets our needs through others aside from work. Sometimes through the obedience and kindness of others, God chooses to meet our needs, to provide for us. Proverbs 14:21 speaks of those who give to the poor in a commending way. Whoever despises his neighbor is a sinner, but blessed is he who is generous to the poor. We are to have a generous nature. We are to be generous to the poor. Throughout Scripture, we find that God has a special concern for the poor, for those who are truly needy. And He blesses those who are generous to the poor. In the New Testament, again and again, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4, there are instructions for how to provide for those who have special needs. 1 Timothy 5, 4 says, if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. However, if they don't have that, verse 3 says, honor widows who are truly widows. And this word for honor means financial provision. There is to be in a concern for those who cannot provide for themselves. Probably you know that in Paul's day, there was no Social Security. There was no governmental care system for widows. They either had family who provided for them, or they were left to fend for themselves. But the church was commanded to provide for them. And we still have a responsibility for those who don't have a means of support. Sometimes it is the obedience or the kindness of others that the Lord uses. In 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, Paul is giving instructions to the church at Corinth about a collection for the Christians in Jerusalem. There was a famine in Jerusalem, and there was a great need. Many of the people were doing very poorly, and so Paul led a collection of other churches to provide for those who were there. And he gives some instructions and some guidelines. In fact, in chapter 9, verses 7 through 11, he writes this: "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work, as it is written. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God." The point here is this: sometimes we learn that there are others, particularly brothers and sisters in Christ, who have a need, and we should be generous. As we have been blessed, we should be a blessing. We should give to them in their time of need. This is one of the ways, one of the means that God uses sometimes to answer this prayer: give us today our daily bread. And the third thing about the means is related directly to this. And that is, not only does God meet our needs through work, and not only does he meet our needs through others who are generous and obedient to give, but when we are generous to give, the Lord commits himself to meeting our needs. We give not in order to receive, but there is a return. God promises to meet the needs of his people when we are faithful and obedient to give. He says, "He who supplies seed to the sower," who is that? God. "And bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God." In Malachi, a passage that most of you are probably familiar with, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, we read this: "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need." Now, some translations say until there's not room to receive it. The point is this. I don't know anywhere else in Scripture. Perhaps you can help me. I don't know anywhere else in Scripture where God says, "Test me. Put me to the test." In fact, we are warned against testing God in Scripture. But here the Lord says, "Put me to the test. You tithe, you give, and see if I will not provide for you." In fact, Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, we all understand, I hope we understand, that God's blessings are not only material and financial. And the blessings we receive from giving are not merely material or financial. But there is a commitment by God to meet the needs of His people as we give to the Lord's work, as we give to Him. He provides for His people. And as Jesus says, it is in the measure, according to the measure with which we give. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, Paul writes, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Someone once said, I heard them say, somebody was asking about tithing. Would you tithe on the gross or on the net? And the response was, well, it depends on what kind of blessing you want. Do you want a net blessing or do you want a gross blessing? Here's the point. We are to be generous. We are to give to the Lord and His work and to others. And according to the measure that we give, God commits Himself to provide for us. It is not an incidental thing. One of the ways God answers this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, is in accordance with the way that we are generous, the way that we give to Him and to others. There are Christians who are being robbed of a blessing, robbing themselves of a blessing because they are not faithful to give to the Lord and His work. I was taught to tithe. One of the first things I learned when I started attending church, always tithed, always have tithed, except one period in my life. And it was the most miserable, most financially challenging period of my life. And there was just a spiral that I couldn't get out of. The less I gave, the less I had to give. And I experienced just the opposite. That is, God blesses. And, you know, the old saying is true, that you cannot outgive God. Now, again, I don't mean this in a crass way. We do not give to get. That's not the point. In fact, if you do that, you're missing it. We give to be obedient, to be faithful to the Lord. We give out of love for Christ and the desire for what we give to be used. But the truth is this. One of the ways God answers prayer for provision is by our giving. He meets our needs. In fact, more than meets our needs. It's interesting how some Christians can afford what they want, but they can't afford to tithe. They can afford vacations, cars, luxuries. Well, this isn't a sermon on tithing. But there is a principle that we need to understand about how God provides. It is God's business how He meets our needs. He uses all of these means and probably others. Work, the generosity of others when we have a need, and our own generosity, His faithfulness to respond and give to us when we are generous. But however our daily bread comes, we need to acknowledge that God is the giver. The psalmist says in Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It all belongs to Him. We would have nothing if it were not for the Lord. 1 Timothy 6:17, Paul writes to Timothy that God richly provides us with everything to enjoy. He is a provider. He is a giver. And James, in James 1:17, says God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, James says, from the Father of lights. And we need to acknowledge that. And we do so when we pray, give us this day our daily bread. The direction is to the Lord. But then secondly, we see the dependence expressed in this petition. Give us this day our daily bread. Because the earth belongs to the Lord and He is the one who richly provides us with everything to enjoy, we should therefore live in dependence on Him, trusting Him to provide for our needs and trusting Him to provide, if necessary, daily for our needs. D.A. Carson, who is a New Testament scholar, writes this. In Jesus' day, laborers were commonly paid each day for the work they had achieved that day. And the pay was frequently so abysmally low that it was almost impossible to save any of it. Therefore, the day's pay purchased the day's food. Moreover, the society was largely agrarian. One crop failure could spell a major disaster. In such a society, to pray, give us today our daily bread, was no empty rhetoric. Living a relatively precarious existence, Jesus' followers were to learn to trust their Heavenly Father to meet their physical needs. Life in Western society is not quite as precarious as it was in the first century. We have received so much more. But sadly, our very wealth has contributed to our thanklessness, to our spiritual bankruptcy. Part of the reason the Lord teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily needs, is to remind us of our dependence on Him, which is a hard thing to do. We struggle against truly trusting and depending on the Lord for our daily needs. We see a picture of what we are to do in depending upon the Lord to meet our needs in Exodus chapter 16. It's the familiar story of God providing the manna for the Israelites in the wilderness. We read this, the Lord said to Moses, verse 11, I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? By the way, that's what manna means. What is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, it is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as he can eat. You shall each take an omer according to the number of the persons that each of you has in his tent. And the people of Israel did so. They gathered some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over. And whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, let no one leave any of it over till the morning. But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning, they gathered it, each as much as he could eat, but when the sun grew hot, it melted. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till the morning." So they laid it aside till the morning as Moses commanded them, and it did not stink, and there were no worms in it. And then the story goes on. The point is this: God provided daily what they needed. Not enough for 2 days, except on the day before the Sabbath, because they were not to gather on the Sabbath. God provided their daily needs. Now, why was that? Because they were a nomadic people. They were traveling around. They didn't have homes, and they couldn't raise crops. They couldn't do those kinds of things. But here's where the analogy fits us. We are to be, as Peter has reminded us, we've been studying 1 Peter, we are aliens and sojourners in this world. And one of the things that we are to remember is that this is world is not our home. Therefore, we don't lay up for ourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But we lay up treasures in heaven, and we live daily in such a way as to depend upon the Lord for our needs. And thus we are to pray, "Lord, give us this day our daily bread." But if you're like me, that's hard. I'd rather say, "Lord, I'd like to see a little in my bank account." All right? So that I know that I have tomorrow covered, and maybe next week, a little bit of next week as well. The Lord says, "Who are you looking to? Give us this day our daily bread." Franklin and Philita Nelson went to Burma as missionaries in the 1940s. They served there 8.5 years before the government closed the country to further missionary work. They returned to the United States, where Franklin served several churches in various pastoral roles. While in Burma, they worked among remote tribes, and Franklin found his sense of gratitude for God's providence rekindled. When reflecting on his missions work, he said, "In the Burmese hill country, the only way to get to remote villages was by shank mare." That's walking, in case you've never heard the phrase. "It was not at all uncommon for me to walk 20 miles a day in the dry season. When I got back to the States and worked as a pastor and church leader, I rarely walked a mile a day. The telephone and car made walking unnecessary. In Burma, if one of us got sick, the nearest hospital was 10 days away. In the States, medical care is minutes away. In Burma, we'd go months without bread. Once we asked our daughter Karen to say grace before a meal, and she said, 'Why do I have to pray for my daily bread when I don't ever get any?' I have often coveted that experience for our youngest daughter, who never had to wonder where her food came from." It's hard to have that sense of helplessness and humility so vital to prayer when you sit down to your daily bread and don't even think about how you got it. I don't in any way blame people here for not knowing what God can do. We're victims of our prosperity. But I sometimes wish we had a few more hard times so people could experience firsthand how wonderful it is to be totally dependent on God. That's what the Lord is encouraging when he teaches us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Well, the third thing in this brief petition is the dimensions of this petition. Notice, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, we all know that bread is a staple of life. Bread represents the most basic of needs. Most modern commentators point out that bread here is representative of our basic needs. Therefore, it's a shorthand for, "Lord, give us our basic needs." John Stott writes the following in his commentary on the Sermon on the Mount. "Luther, Martin Luther, had the wisdom to see that bread was a symbol for everything necessary for the preservation of this life, like food, a healthy body, good weather, house, home, wife, children, good government, and peace. And probably we should add that by bread, Jesus meant the necessities rather than the luxuries of life. In other words, praying, give us this day our daily bread, means that we should ask for our needs, not our greeds. We are taught to pray for our basic needs. Paul writes this, giving instructions to Timothy about basically rich Christians, which we all are, by the way. Now, there is great gain in godliness with contentment, Paul writes. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing with these, we will be content. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They, that is the rich, are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Paul says, what we need more than anything is to be content with what God provides. Having food and clothing, and I think we could add shelter. Let's be content. It's hard to be content in the world in which we live. There's always something else that promises to make life a little easier, or to make us a little happier, or whatever it may be. God is abundantly generous. And we are blessed beyond measure in the land, the nation in which we live. But it's a good thing to ask ourselves, how much is enough? Do I really need a blank? Or do I really need another blank? I'll let you fill in the blank. Or do I really need more whatever? Is that really a need? Is it possible the Lord has prospered us not so that we could have more, but so that we could give more? So that there might be more ministry, more missions, more opportunities for more people to be blessed and to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The dimensions of this prayer are basic needs. Now, it doesn't mean that when we are blessed with abundance that we should feel guilty. But the point is that our hearts should not long for these things. We should find our satisfaction and our joy not in more material and financial abundance, but in the Lord Himself. And we should recognize that what the Lord gives us is not only a blessing, but it's also a great responsibility. It's a stewardship for which we will someday give an account. Paul, referring to the gospel, makes a statement that's really a principle that applies to many areas. When he says, it is required of a steward or a trustee that he be found faithful. I'm steward of the time that the Lord gives me, the 24 hours each day he gives me. I'm a steward of the money and material blessings that the Lord gives me. I am a steward of my family as the, under God, the head of my home. I am called to be faithful. We are blessed so that we can be conduits of God's blessing, not so that we can be reservoirs of that blessing, just blessing ourselves. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And maybe you've blessed me so abundantly that because you want me to be the answer to that prayer for somebody else. Give us this day our daily bread. The bottom line is that when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, it should be an act of dependence on God alone to meet our needs, and a confession that He is both able and willing to do so. And it should lead us to continual thanksgiving and praise to Him for all that He does give, for the way that He answers our prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful tonight for your word. We're grateful, Father, that you are faithful to provide more than our mere basic needs. And yet, Lord, we know that every gift is not only a blessing, but Lord, it's a stewardship. Father, help us grow in our dependence on you and in our faithfulness to be a blessing to others with what you have blessed us with. Lord, may Christ truly be our all in all. May He be our reason for living. May He be what we are about, seeking to glorify Him, seeking to share Him with others, seeking to promote the gospel of Christ by our lips and by our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name and for His sake.